Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
And welcome back inside the creaking door for a new episode of the internet's favorite paranormal radio show, at least to us anyway. It's Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. Welcome inside the creaking door as we are here for another episode, kind of season two for us, if you will, Brad. We took the summer off. We're back. We had our first great show with John Zaffis, and that went over wonderfully, and now we're back in the studios again.
Yeah, we had a big show last. John Zaffis, we had Mr. George Lopez. Yep. Not that George Lopez,
not
but
the comedian.
George Lopez from Dead Air Paranormal Radio, as well as author and local semi-historian, Mr. Todd Clements, pimping his newest book, Haunts of Mackinac, the next chapter,
right,
talking a little bit on Mackinac Island. So, yeah, big show, and good to be back tonight. Another big guest coming into the creaking door for the first time tonight.
Very excited to be having 50% of the stars of Kindred Spirits. Adam Berry is going to be joining us. Of course, he and Amy Bruni have their new show coming out, and we'll be talking about that coming up a little bit later in the show. If you are just finding us for the first time ever, Creaking Door, we welcome you. Thank you for finding us. Of course, you can find us at our home all the time and find all of our past shows at slackjawpunks.com out of Detroit Rock City. And you can also find us online at iTunes and Stitcher as well. So,
right. And don't forget to look us up on the Facebook.
Yeah. Yes, the Facebook.
The Facebook.
Yes.
Because, yeah, we keep everything, all of our shenanigans posted up there, what we've got going on. We've actually got a very busy fall schedule that we're just starting to get into, doing a lot of speaking presentations and some different fun things. So you can keep up with all of that on our Facebook page and check us out at, what's our website? Is actually creakingdoorparanormal.com.
Yes.
So that can hook you up with all of that fun stuff, too.
Absolutely. So find us on that World Wide Web, that crazy thing they call the web, because it really does. I thought it was going to be a fad. Silly me. No, but definitely follow along with us on the web and especially on Facebook, because we are very active on it, and we want you to come along on our travels and our journeys with us here with Inside the Creaking Door. Well, Brad, it is that time of the show where we like to dig deep into some of the news and what is going on in this crazy world around us. So let's go ahead and jump into Para News.
Why not? And probably the most, I don't know if you want to say controversial, but maybe, of the paranormal reality stars to come out in the last 10, 12 years, Mr. Ryan Buell now finding himself in some legal issues. Ryan Buell, who starred in the reality television series Paranormal State, was arrested in South Carolina after state college police filed felony theft charges against him. Buell, 34, is facing felony charges of theft of leased property and receiving stolen property, as well as a misdemeanor count on theft of services after he allegedly rented a car in August and never returned it.
Oh, my.
Well, who knew?
That's a new
who
one
knew?
Of the story.
He was arrested on an active warrant in South Carolina, where he was raised. According to the affidavit of probable cause filed by State College Police, the manager of Eagle Automotive told police he rented a Kia Sportage to Buell on August 1st. As a courtesy, the manager said he attempted to extend the rental on August 8th, but that the credit card provided would not cover the cost.
Oof.
The manager then attempted to contact Buell by phone and email, and finally by certified letter, giving him 1 week to return the vehicle. While Buell still did not respond, police attempted to contact him by phone and by Facebook Messenger. Police said Buell did not respond, but that Buell's Facebook account showed posts after an officer had sent him a message. At 19, Buell founded the Paranormal Research Society at Penn State, and in 2007, that was parlayed into the A&E reality series Paranormal State, which followed the group as they investigated supposed hauntings. Buell graduated from Penn State that same year with degrees in journalism and anthropology. The show aired until 2011. Aside from criticisms that the show peddled pseudoscience, multiple episodes were criticized even by believers in the paranormal for allegedly staging the hauntings. So, yeah, a little bit of trouble with Mr. Ryan Buell. And have you seen the mugshot that came with this?
He
looks rough.
It adds to the sadness of this whole overall story to watch him just kind of fall the way he has.
You know, and since this story broke, he's been extradited back to Pennsylvania to stand trial. He's locked up there. Last I knew, I don't know if anybody's thrown his bail yet, but
yeah.
Wow, what a train wreck.
It really is. And we've been hearing stories about this for the last
year and a half, two years,
of people who have been ripped off, who paid for events that mm-hmm. he backed out of.
Right.
This whole car story sounds like that was the one that finally got him busted.
Yeah.
And I had never heard that.
It sounds like it was going to happen for something at some point.
Yeah.
And I know a good friend of ours, Chip Coffey, was involved in some of these events that Ryan was planning.
Right.
And Chip distanced himself after finding out what was going on and people were paying in. And, never actually having the event planned.
And Buell's own mom even came out on Facebook after all this started breaking, and she finally pleaded to, you know, fans, and I use air quotes, of mm-hmm. Paranormal State to please stop enabling her son.
Yeah, it sounds like there's an underlying issue here.
Yeah, it really does. And I hope he can get the help he needs, because it's been a far fall from grace for that guy.
To say the least.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take us, it's not often, Brad, I get excited about anything coming out of China, but I am excited about this story. Looks like we maybe finally get to hear from ET. We'll find out, because the largest radio telescope in the world has just finished being put together, and we are ready to start listening to the cosmoses now at the Chinese Academy of Science. Announced on Sunday that the Mammoth Telescope, located in the mountains of Guizhou, China, has an aperture that's over 1,600 feet long. The entire size of the instrument is the same as 30 soccer fields, according to CAS. Now, at a cost of $180 million and made up of 4,450 panels, the telescope will help scientists conduct astronomical research and will listen for even signs of extraterrestrial life and research dark matter, they say. It's called FAST. It stands for 500 Meter Aperture Spherical Telescope, or FAST. And now it has been completed. Now it has to undergo testing phases, it is reported. Once completed, FAST will lead the world for at least 10 to 20 years, says the creator, Yon Yan, director and general manager of the project. So previously, the biggest telescope has been the observatory in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So this is going to break that record by a ton, and you can see a picture of it there. I mean, it's absolutely huge. It looks like a big bowl inside a mm-hmm. mountain. So I'm actually excited about this. I want to see, you know, what this could bring us.
It seems like science has really embraced the search for extraterrestrial existence.
I wish we could get them as excited about ghosts in the afterlife, but at least they are grabbing on to the alien side
of
things.
Yeah, they are pushing that more and more, it seems, and of course there's all these theories of everybody living among us on Earth, and I know one of our past guests... we had a great, great show, How to Talk to an Alien.
Oh, yes.
Duterte.
Yeah.
Nancy Duterte.
Yep.
She had very, very compelling ideas of what may be going on, but that's you can look that up in our archives. But
yeah, that was a great interview. Is back quite a few months now, but that's a good one to listen to. You're right.
Well, I'm going to keep us right over in the Far East for this next story coming from motherboard.com about a little bit of haunted real estate going on.
Oh.
A woman hanged herself in her beachside apartment with her own scarf in May. An elderly gentleman lost his balance while hanging laundry over the window and plunged to his death in the city the month before. And out in the suburbs in February, a couple locked themselves in their apartment. This is the part that's going to get you with their dog and burned bags of charcoal until they all suffocated.
Oh, no.
Turns out that in Hong
Poor
Kong.
Dog.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. So in Hong Kong, these at-home deaths, which happen all the time, can be another man's boon. At spacious.hk, young entrepreneurs are keeping track of the tragic events that happen inside the city's notoriously expensive apartments. Because when someone dies in one of the city's properties, Chinese people don't want to live in them anymore out of a deep cultural fear of ghosts. Luckily for spacious.hk, the city's expatriates, not to mention Hong Kong's new generation, aren't usually bothered by living in haunted houses. At the tech startup in Shengwan, which sits just on the edge of the city's central financial district, Spacious HK founder Asif Gufor is making his business boom from the Chinese fear of living in these ghost apartments called Hongjiak in Cantonese. The company reports that on average, the haunted house overlay is used some 5,000 times a month. Whether that leads to an actual transaction or not is hard to say, because from that point, the transaction moves offline in between agents and rent. The haunted house service itself is free.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So,
two interesting stories coming out of the world over by China.
All right. Would you yourself move into a home or apartment that you knew someone had recently passed away in?
Well,
would that stop you?
No. Would I be doing it on this premise that someone died there, so that excites me?
Mm-hmm.
No. But if it was a beautiful place and it was some, you know, a property I really wanted, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to worry the fact that someone died there.
Mm-hmm.
But if they warned me and said this place is haunted, that might persuade me not to buy it. Yeah. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
I guess how recently, too. I don't want to walk into a place with chalk lines on the floor, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
or still the smell.
Right.
You know.
That's hard to get out, that smell. It really is.
Yeah, you know, you and I and our team, obviously, we, for years, have run around trying to find the evidence of ghosts. But I don't know that I want to live with one.
There you go.
Okay. All right. I'm going to finish up Paranews today with just a quick summary of an amazing weekend that Brad and I just had together. We got away and eloped. No kidding. But Mothman Festival, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the 15th anniversary of the festival and the 50th anniversary of the first sighting of Mothman at West Point, or Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And we had a chance to go there. Record-breaking crowds. All the Post articles are saying over 10,000 people were at Mothman this year.
And if you were there, you could believe it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It was nonstop people. It was blocks upon blocks of just people everywhere. Top of some great lectures that we got to take in. But I think the biggest surprise to us, Brad, is the popularity
of Mountain Monsters.
Of the men from Mountain Monsters, the TV show, which I've never seen an episode of.
I have. It's entertaining. It is entertaining.
Which obviously the the name of the TV show tells you what they do.
And they're out walking through the hills of West Virginia searching for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And we had the opportunity. We actually stayed at the same hotel as the gentleman from Mountain Monsters. And we had the opportunity to hang out Friday and Saturday night with these guys. And what a great bunch of guys.
They really are.
The show is flat out goofy.
Yeah.
And it's television. They act it up. But wow, what a bunch of fun guys. We had a great time hanging out with them. They had a 6-hour wait line to meet these guys.
Never seen anything like it.
No.
I mean, when you've got 10,000 people at a festival, it makes sense now why that line was nonstop. These guys sat under a tent for 6+ hours, signing everything that was put in front of them, taking every picture and shaking every hand. Like you said, they're some of the nicest guys we've ever met. You can tell they were just kind of thrust into the limelight, and they're just average people.
They sure are. Yeah. Boy, did we have a good time with them. But wow, what a wild weekend. And we had a great time. We got to sit in on a couple of lectures. A friend of ours, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who she went over what Mothman may or may not be, some of the logical and some of the far out, as Rosemary likes to do, explanations of it, and also got to sit in on Nick Redfern, who I had never seen speak before, talking about the Men in Black phenomena, which was very interesting.
Yeah, and he's got a brand new book out called Women in Black, which is kind of the second part of the Men in Black novel.
Well, you don't want to be sexist, so.
Exactly. You got to give them both their due, and he does, and I've just picked up his Women in Black book, and I'm looking forward to digging into that as well. But for anyone who is listening, if you are even remotely interested in cryptids and especially the Mothman phenomena, definitely do yourself a favor and check out the Mothman Festival. I'm just glad Brad and I had a chance to see it at the 50th anniversary.
And I think that was probably the biggest that they've ever had. Rosemary does it every year, and she mentioned to us that she had never seen this type of a crowd at this event before.
Well, we were seeing vendors and restaurants, local restaurants running out of food. They weren't ready for this. 10,000 plus people in a small Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Great time. You got to check it out, the Mothman Festival. All right, Brad, we're going to take a break. When we come back, welcoming inside the creaking door, a first-time visitor, and he is part of the team that is going to be bringing Kindred Spirits to the television this October with Amy Bruni. We're happy to welcome Adam Berry inside the creaking door next, right here, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Now that's a drink I can sink my teeth into.
Get ready to enjoy the most unique cola experience you've ever had with Dead World Zombie Soda. With spine-tingling flavors like Orange Roamer, Goon Bitters,
Cherry Cola,
Brain Sap,
Cream Soda,
Grizzly Swill.
Great.
12 different flavors you won't forget from Dead World Zombie Soda. Check them out at deadworldzombiesoda.com to find out where you can stock up just in time for the zombie apocalypse. Dead World Zombie Soda. All natural for the unnatural. Don't be afraid to grab a cold one.
And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you, powered by our friends at SlackJawPunks.com out of Detroit, Michigan. And Brad, very excited to welcome our guests inside the Creaking Door, a first-timer for us. We've talked to many of people who have worked within his circles, but the first time we get to welcome Mr. Adam Berry.
That's right.
So, Adam, welcome inside the Creaking Door, sir. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I know we've tried to make things work out before with our schedules. They just never matched up. But we're very honored to get you now because it seems like things are probably busier for you now than ever, and you're making time for us. So we do appreciate that. What a last couple of months this has been for you and, of course, Amy Bruni, man. Congratulations on everything coming out with the new TV show Kindred Spirits.
Thank you. Thank you. It's something that we, you know, are very proud of and something that we worked really hard to make happen and had to think about it, you know, for a long while if it was something we wanted to do. And we're very excited it's now about to be released to the public, you know.
So what was the inspiration to do this type of show? I guess first off, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what Kindred Spirits actually is?
Sure. So Kindred Spirits is a new paranormal reality show. I know what.
Because we need more of those.
Really is something. Say it again, I'm sorry.
So because we need more of those.
Exactly. And that's what the first thing that people say. But I think what's really unique about our show is that, you know, it's not like we're just going in and investigating a location and saying, yes, it's haunted. We verify what you're, the experiences that you're having, and stopping there. I mean, it's more than that. Really, it's only home. It's families. They're being haunted by a loved one. We go in to not only investigate and kind of prove that they're not crazy, which a lot of them really want confirmation that, okay, so things are happening because they, you know, they've been dealing with it for so long, they don't know if, you know, they're going crazy or not. And then we go a step further, like you would normally do in a real investigation, where you get all the deeds and you do all the research and you meet with historians and you talk to relatives about their experiences and you compile this huge case and you go back every single night and investigate with more ammunition and more information. And we come to a conclusion about who we believe is in the house and who is and how, you know, they are connected. Are they connected? Is it the grandmother? Is it a previous homeowner? Is it someone that's not even connected to the house or the land? And informing the family of, you know, this is what we think, and this is how you can live cohesively with, you know, this entity that happens to be here, and to not be afraid of it. And so it's really an in-depth look at an actual, you know, what a normal investigation would be, rather than just going and saying, yeah, it's haunted.
Yeah, in two things, Adam, of what I've already am excited about watching Kindred Spirit when it comes out. For one, when you and Amy were here a few weeks ago for the Michigan Paranormal Convention, you gave the attendees a wonderful opportunity to get a sneak peek at the new TV show. And what I loved about it, and I talked to both you and Amy about this afterwards, was the quality of the footage. It's not your typical green night vision shots anymore. This is a different type of lighting that I really, really like. And you can touch on that in just a second. But the other thing I like, too, is the fact that you said you're going back into the homes. You're going back and helping the families. And anyone who remembers, of course, the TV show that you and Amy were from originally, which was Ghost Hunters, the original first couple of seasons of Ghost Hunters was nothing but going into homes and helping families. And that's what I miss. I love that part of it. So you guys are kind of bringing it back to, you know, really helping the families. But then the quality of the footage of the film, fantastic as well.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I have to say, if no one's gone to the Paracon up there, you got to go.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, and it's the perfect opportunity to hang out with people who have the same interests as you do, and I know I appreciate you guys for having us, because it was especially the Jeopardy.
Oh, don't worry, we're gonna touch on that yet. You bet.
We are.
Good. But yeah, so we, you know, it was good to show clips of what we were doing, and the one thing we wanted to get away from was I guess IR in general. Because, you know, it is great, but how many times have we investigated NIR and not seen the shadow that we saw, or not experienced something that we were filming on camera because the IR light was blaring it out. And we wanted to find a different way to, you know, film the show. And we worked with our production company, and they were very open to every idea that we had, of course. And I think, you know, we wanted it to have a really realistic cinematic feel, like you're there with us, investigating with us. And it's not just, you know, a walkthrough of a building. It's, you know, it's intimate. We're in someone's home. And, you know, going back to the reason why we wanted to do it, I mean, we left Ghost Hunters for different reasons, obviously. But we thought, well, if we ever go back, what would we want to do? And the idea of helping families and really helping people who we would hear from and who we do hear from on all the time, I think really was something we wanted to do. I mean, it was getting back to the basics. It's as if, you know, it's like this can happen to anyone. I mean, it's real paranormal cases that can happen to normal people that don't expect it, because a lot of these people aren't even looking for it. They just are having these experiences, and they don't know what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the biggest difference that you found behind the scenes when it came to filming sure. Kindred Spirits versus filming Ghost Hunters for Pilgrim?
Well, it's one thing. It's only Amy and I. That's it. That's the biggest difference. There is a lot of work. We do a lot of work because it's just the two of us. One of us is doing research while the other one is interviewing, and vice versa. And it's just us. Everything is, you know, everything that we do on the show is like is our diagnosis, for instance. And we don't want to get it wrong. The pressure is really, really intense. Because these people they're genuinely terrified. They genuinely have no idea what's happening. They may think they know, and we cannot give them a wrong diagnosis. Like, we cannot say something that we do not believe. We have to be very clear about who we think it is, why we think they're there, how you can communicate with them, how you can live with them, and we have to help these people. And I think that is the biggest difference between our, you know, us on Ghost Hunters and us on this show, because there is a lot riding on this. It's extremely high stakes. We didn't sleep much at all for various reasons. I mean, whether it be, you know, investigating late into the night, or, you know, not sleeping because we're processing what happened and you know, genuinely worried that what if we don't find out an outcome? What if we don't get an answer? You know, what do we tell these people? Because they're trusting us, and usually we're their last resort. So I think that is the biggest difference between that Kindred Spirits and Ghost Hunters, because Ghost Hunters, while we wanted to help and find out what was there, it was more of a verification of the activity rather than giving them a solution.
Yeah, and you know, Adam, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about this, and I'm thinking in my head, where were Adam and Amy with this show and this approach 10, 15 years ago, when the when the field just blew wide open, and then all of a sudden, every TV show that came out, every haunting was a demon and everyone was possessed. And then every new paranormal team that came out on every street corner of every city in the United States thought that everyone's house was possessed by a demon because of these TV shows. And that is so much damage to these homeowners and these families. You guys are going to bring forward finally something on TV that is going to hopefully show these young people who might be interested in creating a team someday that this is how you have to approach a family. This is their home. This is their life. When you leave that house, they have to live with what you told them.
Right. And you can't be wrong. I mean, it's like you can. It's I mean, what's crazy, though, about what we do is, and you know this, like investigating, you experience something and you take what you experience and you, you know, compare it to all the hundreds of other experiences that you've had, and then you compare it to all the research that you've done and the names that you've gotten, and you come up with a diagnosis of what you think is happening, mm-hmm. right? And that's still an opinion.
Right.
Because we can't see them. But we believe in this so much that we believe that this is who it is, and this is what we think it is, and the homeowner trusts us in that. And I think that is the biggest burden as well as challenge, because you can't be wrong. I mean, you can't be wrong in your heart. You have to really, truly believe that this is what is these people need help, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud that I'm glad we're doing that. Glad we're doing that.
Absolutely.
It makes it, you know, it makes it worth leaving home. It makes it worth, you know, not sleeping and being stressed out about it, because in the end, these people have a new lease on their existence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going into this, you and Amy had a fairly short filming window. Did you end up in any cases where absolutely nothing happened and you couldn't give any type of advice or any type of findings to the homeowners?
I'm going to leave it open.
Okay.
Because I think it's fun to watch and find out. But I will say, we left no stone unturned, right? So if we hit a wall or a roadblock, or if we had five different directions that we could go in this case, we would have to do extra research, or we'd have to go the extra mile to make sure that what we were experiencing, what was happening, was what we really thought was occurring. We never told them, we were real with people. You know, if something wasn't the way it was supposed to be, we were very honest about it. If something turned out to be a little intense, we have to be honest about it, because, you know, whether we like it or not, we're being filmed and they're going to see it anyway. So if we right. get a really messed up EVP and the family is frightened, we have to either explain what that is and find out what that is, or just play it for them and be like, you know, don't know what it is. It's really scary. So, and that's not a good option. So we would have to actually go the extra mile. We never stopped. We literally never stopped until we found an answer. But we, you know, we were scared, because, you know, things aren't easy. Things do not just come naturally, if you know what I mean.
Well, anyone who's been Absolutely. In the field knows how tough it is just to get some, right. type of experience as it is. So, Adam Berry is our guest inside the creaking door this episode. And Adam, when I was introducing you, I was saying what a crazy 2-3 months it has been for you and Amy. You guys announced the new show. You're out there. You're filming it. You get back. You go on the road for some events. And then all of a sudden, boom, within the last week here, we find out a big announcement from you and Amy that originally the TV show was supposed to be airing on Destination America, which, of course, you know, for all paranormal fans, that is a great channel. But you've got up, man. You're going up to the big dog on TLC, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise to us as well. I mean, we are still a show made by Destination America, which, if that makes any sense at all, we are still under the umbrella of Destination America. And I think that is why our show is the way it is. I think that's why our show, why we got to do so many things we wanted to do in our show. So it would not have been the same show if it was a show made by TLC, I don't think. But the higher ups saw the show and they decided that it would be great if it could reach a wider audience, mm-hmm. because, you know, Destination America is in 54 million homes, which is really, really great and awesome. And TLC is 97 million homes or 94 million homes, which is, you know, is huge. And they've seen rough cuts of the episodes and they thought, you know, this is a great show for TLC. It hits their demographic and it gets the message of what we want to do out to more people. And what's really cool is they're actually going to repackage each episode and put things in, because we shot so much. We're shooting for, you know, 5 days, and you only have 50 minutes to put everything that's happened in it.
Right.
So what they're going to do is, once it airs on TLC, they're going to take each episode and add things that you didn't see on TLC and then re-premiere it on Destination America. So it'll actually, you'll see two versions of the same pace, mm-hmm. and there may be like special, you know, behind this bonus footage that you didn't see on TLC that they're going to show on DA. So it'll be on two networks, which is incredible as well.
Good
Lordy. Yeah, we were shocked and surprised, but it's a good surprise. It's a good thing, you know?
Let's switch gears for a minute, Adam, and talk about another project that you and Amy were involved with, Point Society. What's going on there?
That is a really cool project that Amy and I worked on with a lovely name, Beth Conrad Brown. She created this world called Point Society, which is like a mixture of The Skulls meets American Horror, like Horror Story. And we play two nurses, Jack and Jill, and we only did like a really quick, you know, day shoot cameo kind of thing. But we're brother and sisters. We're, you know, crazy, and we like to torture inmates. I don't know, people in a hospital, people. I don't know. It's a really cool little thing, and we had a lot of fun doing it. And it's totally acting. It's completely scripted. And I think they want to put it on web, and they want to do like an interactive game that has, you know, that's connected to it. They've got a website, and you could probably learn more about that. We haven't done anything. That was like last, I think, September when we did that, or October. And it's just now kind of like rolling in. But I think, you know, we look pretty cool doing it.
Well, I mean, you guys were definitely doing some great PR yourselves on Facebook and social media. I mean, the pictures were very provocative in a fun way. And, you know, and the vibe I did get from it, you took the words right out of my mouth. The vibes I got from it was a very American Horror Story-ish when I saw them.
It looked creepy fun.
Yeah.
Creepy fun.
Yeah, it was creepy. One of the leads in it was Pepper from American Horror Story. She, the lady who played Pepper, she was one of the nurses in the whole concept of the show. So it was fun to meet her and to hang out with her. And a lot of people, a couple of people from Face Off that won Face Off up for it. And we had a great costume designer. So it was a way to kind of let loose and be a part of this a different world, which is, you know, Amy did not go to school for theater, and I did. So at least I had like a little, I knew exactly a little bit of what I was doing. But we had a really good time. We had a good time.
So as far as you know, though, I mean, that hasn't been released. It's not out there yet for viewing, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. I think there's a sneak peek or a preview on like their Facebook page where they show like clip, you know, like a trailer of some sort, but I don't think it's out yet, but when it hits, I mean, we'll definitely be posting it.
While we're on the topic of acting, has all of this filming, getting back into TV, has that left you much time to work with your own theater company?
No, not at all. I'm still the executive director of the Peregrine Theater Ensemble out here in Provincetown, Massachusetts. So I spent my summer running a nonprofit theater company, which involves, you know, writing contracts, raising money, making sure the budget is met, just really running an entire nonprofit while I was filming. So thank God we have computers, because, you know, and thank God we were like local, you know, we were filming locally, so I could come home for 2 days in the middle of shooting something else, like driving wise. But I didn't get to be in anything. We did three shows, two plays and a musical, and they were very successful. And I'm glad, you know, it wasn't just me. Obviously my husband is involved. He's the artistic director. And our friend Bella Tasha, she's the stage manager. So the three of us ran this company, and we had a lot of help with volunteers and the cast. And we had like 54 employees or something. I mean, it was a lot. I did not get a chance to do anything on stage, and that's fine. I'm tired.
Well, on top of that,
I needed a break.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're giving yourself much time, Adam, because on top of all that, why don't we go ahead and throw a clothing line on top of that now and see how that goes?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just see. So this is funny, because you know how sometimes we make T-shirts and then you go to events and you're like, you know, you sit down. So I was talking to my friend, Laura, and she is a graphic designer, and she teaches marketing graphic design at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. She was like, I have some ideas for some shirts and some things that you might want. And I was like, yeah, I mean, because we, you know, I do too, obviously. So we went back and forth about design ideas, and we came up with a few, some that have not been released. And then she made this cool logo, and I was like, why the hell not? Let's just do that. So it's a little, you know, it's a little more professional. We're just, you know, we kind of upgraded a little bit. But it's a lot of fun, and that's more of like a creative outlet, you know? It's like, let's make T-shirts that people are going to connect to and that are kind of fun and that show their paranormal pride, if you will. You know, it's like they like ghosts. I like ghosts. Let's make it happen.
Awesome. Very cool.
And then on top of everything else, Strange Escapes having another very busy year coming up.
Oh, I know, right?
Like, you guys are all over the place.
What are we doing to ourselves? What is happening, you guys? So Mackinac sold out. Mackinac Island.
That sold out
this
fast.
October.
That
it
one.
Sold out. I don't. Went viral. Amy Bruni does a really great job at promoting these events, and she makes these really cool videos. Mm-hmm. You saw the Gettysburg video that that just came out.
Yes. Very good.
But
very well done.
Right? It's so cute. I mean, it's the thing about these Strange Escapes. They're like, they're not just. They're more than a day event. They're more than, you know, like a Comic-Con, which are great, but they're like experiences. It's coming and hanging out and having dinner, and then there's lectures and there's investigations, and we're there all weekend, and it's a vacation, and you know, it's exciting. Mackinac's going to be great. We are having a huge like costume ball. Like, you know, like the Hocus Pocus costume party. We're trying to recreate that kind of thing. And then November, we've got Gettysburg, which, no. November, we've got Mount Washington, which is the weekend of the 14th, I believe, November 14th, 15th. And that's, you know, beautiful New Hampshire, which is gorgeous. And then in December, we have Gettysburg, and then there's the Queen Mary, and then there's the cruise, and then there's another thing that hasn't been announced yet. So it's, you know, we're keeping busy, and hopefully there'll be like a season two. I'm gonna knock on some wood. Hopefully there'll be like a season two somewhere in the mix there.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just gonna say, so we'll sleep, you know, later.
At some point.
We won't try it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the debut date and time for Kindred Spirits on TLC.
So October 21st at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on TLC, Kindred Spirits. And if you watch anything on TLC now, you'll see they're showing a commercial, I'm hearing, that people are excited about. So that's, you know, if you can watch My 600-Pound Life or The Yes Express, one of those. And you know, that's a point, an important thing to point out. This, our show will be like nothing that they've got on there. I mean, right now they've got, you know, My 600-Pound Life and Say Yes to the Dress and like, so they have like a Little People, Big World thing happening. And, you know, it's very, it's interesting. They have an interesting lineup, but ours is kind of different, which I'm really excited about. I'm anxious to see how people that don't connect to the paranormal, you know, that don't watch Destination America or that don't know Ghost Hunters, I'm anxious to see if they're going to, like, if we find a new audience for people that are like, oh, wait, you know, my God, this stuff happens in my house, or, like, you know, people do this kind of thing. I don't know. It's gonna. It might be really cool.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that one, Adam. I think this really is going to turn you guys onto a whole new audience that may be regulars on TLC. As you said, they don't have their staple paranormal show yet, so you guys are going to be groundbreakers in that aspect. Now, it's a good thing. That you know, with all the time you and Amy are spending together, it's a good thing that you two are like best friends behind the scenes too, aren't you?
Right, exactly. I know. I was just texting with her today about something. I mean, there's always something. We just text back and forth, and I asked her a question about something that's near where our house, and I was like, "Oh, and I can come pick it up, and that'll give me an excuse to see you." So we plan things all the time, and like we're going to. Disney together. My husband and I are going up October 5th, and then Amy is coming with Charlotte and two of our other friends on that Saturday because Charlotte is turning 4.
Wow.
And we're all going to Disney together, and we're on her birthday. We're wearing, like, pirate shirts because Charlotte likes to be a pirate. She's Captain Pirate Charlotte right now. I'm Pirate Adam.
Okay.
And I go to Magic Kingdom and ride the Pirates of the Caribbean ride and, like, buy fake swords and do all that. So, yeah, we're really great friends. And,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
We were put together, you know, on Ghost Hunters. I knew of her. She obviously was coming. And thank God it worked out, I would say.
Yeah. No, that's cool. And I just want, you know, you just want to let the people know we've gotten a chance to know you and Amy over the years through Paracon and other things. And, you know, it's just to let the listeners know it's the real deal. What you see on screen, these two are truly they're like family to each other. So that's,
yeah,
fantastic.
We are brother and sister. We bicker a little bit sometimes. You know, we call each other out sometimes. It's fine.
Yeah.
It works.
And real quick here, Adam, before we let you go, let's talk about when you were here for Paracon now. You had mentioned Paranormal Jeopardy. It's something we had never tried here before. We thought we would throw it on the wall and see if it stuck, and I think it stuck. I don't think we've gotten it off the wall yet. I think that's how good that went over.
Oh, my God.
We still get comments on that a month out.
Yeah.
That was, like, the best time. And for a first go at, like, how are we going to do this and how is this going to play? Like, no one had an idea.
No.
We were winging it. But
yeah.
Honestly, it was so much fun. And I got so many comments afterwards. They were like, oh, well, you know, we should, like, this should be a TV show, or this should be online all the time.
It was.
And I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, that was just, it went over so well. And as I said, and honestly, we're still getting feedback from this year's event, and that comes up every time. Anybody that was at that dinner had a blast. and we have to thank you big time for that.
Have you ever hosted a game show prior to that, Adam?
No, but I like to talk, as you can tell.
Yes.
So it's easy for me. I mean, there's a fine line. It's like, how much do you go? Like, how do you push the envelope?
Mm-hmm.
But once you kind of feel the crowd, it was really good. I mean, maybe next year we can get some paranormal experts and do it, or we can, like, I don't know. There's
or have
so
a few
options.
More drinks
so
before. Yeah. I mean, you know, just throw a few more drinks in there and I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we're golden.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Adam, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to be with us. Adam Berry with his sister through the paranormal field, Amy Bruni. You'll find them on Kindred Spirits TLC on October 21st, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Adam, thank you so much for being with us inside the creaking door.
Thank you, guys. You guys are always awesome. It's a joy anytime.
And we're going to take a break now. When we come back, our final segment on the way with Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com. Love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, SlackjawPunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
SlackjawPunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***? And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair, getting ready for our final and third segment of the show. And once again, Brad, we want to thank Adam Berry. What a busy guy. I don't know how we fit this into his schedule.
Yeah, and we'll be hanging out with him and Amy next month. That's here. Right. Well, coming up in mid-October on Mackinac Island for Strange Escapes, you and I will be presenting at that event and working the ghost hunts overnight. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last year with these guys, and talk about just a great group of people to work with.
Yeah.
That whole Strange Escapes clique, I guess you could call them. We've got Amy and Adam. Chip Coffey's normally in there.
John Tenney.
Mr. John Tenney from, down in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
But just a great group. So really looking forward to that as part of our busy Halloween time schedule.
Yeah, it really is getting busy for us too. So again, we encourage everyone to follow us on Facebook, and there you'll see our schedules when Brad and I are out speaking and at different locations. So, but another way you can always reach out to us is through our Facebook page for the show, where we've got our two segments that we do here in the third and final segment. We do Mailbag, where you can ask us any question you want in regards to the paranormal or just life in general. If you really want our advice on anything other than paranormal, we're happy to give it.
You're probably better sticking to paranormal, if that.
And or if you just want to share a story with us as well, we're always happy to receive them and share them here on the show.
Absolutely.
With our listeners. And then, of course, the other segment we do, which we'll do right now, Brad, is called Casper or Camera.
Right. And tonight's segment I found on unexplained.com, which is reported to be a poltergeist. This is actually a video clip. And it's a homeowner that claims to have caught poltergeist activity on film as it trashes his home. So we're going to put that up on the Creaking Door Facebook page. It says he had previously left the cameras running but hadn't had anything happen until naturally this time.
Of course.
It's kind of, to me, looks like somebody's probably off to the side of the camera throwing dishes and things. But I don't want to sway your judgment. Go on over to the Creaking Door. Take a look at it yourself. It's labeled as spooky footage shows poltergeist trashing man's home. So,
All right. So
take a look at that. Get back to us. Let us know what you think. Feel free to comment on it on our page or send us a direct message on it.
Yep, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. Casper or camera, what do you think it is? All right, time to reach inside our mailbag here now, Brad. And our letter, or our e-message, I should say, comes to us from Stacy J. out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, in our own home state.
Awesome.
Nice to talk to you, Stacy. And she says, Tim, Brad, great to hear from you guys again. I missed you over the summer, but at least you had plenty of old shows to go back to and listen to in the archives. Well, first of all, Stacy, thank you very much for that. Stacy says her question is in regards to haunts moving from different homes. She says, when I was younger, I never had any experiences in a haunted house. My boyfriend and I, the first house we bought together, was reported to be haunted, and some very interesting things happened. We've since been married and have moved into another home. Since we've moved into another home and have started our family, we've started to notice things happening again. Is it possible for a haunting to follow you if they were at a location before we got there? Just curious. Anything you can help us with would be appreciated. Well, thank you, Stacy. Interesting question. I mean,
yeah, it is.
You know, it goes back to the whole attachment theory.
Right.
You know, and we were just talking with John Zaffis in our show before this one. And, of course, John's always dealing with attachment hauntings, usually with inanimate objects.
Right.
But, you know, it...
The old wandering poltergeist theory is what it brings to mind. You know, will something follow you from home to home? And we've heard cases where, yes, it seems that that's exactly what goes on.
Right. And, you know, or is it possible that they just happen to have moved into another home with some activity? It's hard to say. I almost feel bad for going in this direction, Stacy, because I don't want to scare her.
Right.
You know, I don't want her to say, oh, my God, yes, something followed you. Is it possible? Sure. Is the percentage high? Probably not. I would say, first of all, you know, maybe living in that other home with your now husband, maybe got your imagination going a little bit. I would say just do the due diligence and make sure that whatever you're experiencing in the new home isn't natural.
Right. Don't jump to conclusions.
Right.
Don't jump to conclusions. Go about your day-to-day business and see what happens. And, yeah, if you do find that things do seem to heat up and you're having activity, then by all means, call somebody that can come in and give you a hand with this.
Absolutely. And as always, Stacy, you know how to get a hold of us. Brad and I, our team has been in the field for over 20 years. Obviously, Grand Rapids is a bit of a far drive for us, but we do know people
in
that area.
But being in Michigan, we do have some great contacts down that way that we could point you in the right direction for. more.
Happy to help you in any way we can, Stacy. But again, just do your due diligence. And like Brad said, don't jump to any conclusions. Well, sir, of course, that is going to take us to the end of another Creaking Door Paranormal Radio.
Of course, another fun interview tonight with Mr. Adam Berry.
As
looking
always.
Forward. And I don't, I'll be honest, I don't watch a lot of reality paranormal shows. It's just we're out in the field doing this a lot. And it's kind of akin to being an electrician and coming home and watching a show on wiring, I guess.
You know, that's true.
You don't. I am looking forward to this show. I like the direction they're taking things. I like the fact that they're going in, helping these families. And I really like the idea that these are families that think it's a relative that's haunting them.
Because
we've had cases like this, and you and I know throughout the years, where people are saying, well, I think it's my husband or my mom that's haunting me.
Right.
And don't necessarily want the spirit to be chased out, but want confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's some people who would probably find, and I bet you we're going to find this as the season of Kindred Spirits goes on. I'm sure they've come across some families who actually feel very comfortable.
Right.
That they think that a family member is there. So.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to watching this series.
Again, October 21st, Kindred Spirits on TLC. Adam Berry and Amy Bruni are going to be bringing it to us 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And with you, Brad, I am definitely looking forward to it. And again, I like the art side of it, too, the way they're shooting it without the typical
Night IR. Green, night vision. Yeah, right.
So looking forward to that. And that is going to conclude another version of Creaking Door. Thank you for coming on inside. And be watching, of course, iTunes and Stitcher and at our home at slackjawpunks.com for new episodes coming up. It's that time of year. We love to get into the studio and talk ghosts and everything scary and paranormal. So
we like doing that year-round, though.
That's true, though. It is. It just happens to be
a little more acceptable,
even more fun.
When we get to the fall. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
But follow us on Facebook, too, and find out where Brad and I are going to be, and you can come on out and say hi. We would love to meet you. On behalf of the producers and Brad Blair and myself, Tim Ellis, thank you for coming on. It's another edition of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
The Creaking Door.